아멘.
I think we should also sing, "Thou art worthy, Thou art worthy." Let us stand up for it. You may be seated. For us, this is not only a song, but it is reality. We are really glad beyond measure that we can live in a time in which the word of the Lord can be carried and can be spread all over the earth. Also in this area, the means and the possibilities were never as they are now. In a couple of hours, one is on the other side of the world. One gets out, preaches, and flies on from country to country. Just now again, in January, I experienced it. Up to the Philippines, and there also on the island Mindanao, Kasebu. Just wonderful if one sees that not only 10 or 20, I think I have put some two photographs in our display cabinet at the entrance. We had in one meeting between 900 and 1,000 people. The word of the Lord does not return void. It accomplishes for what it was sent for. And the true proclamation is more necessary as ever before. Everywhere all kinds of interpretations are being spread, and we have the warning in the Holy Scripture that the believers should not be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. And therefore, we put the emphasis onto the true proclamation of the true word. And we were reading in the word of introduction, "Give heed to the word, so that you understand the revelation rightly." This is the key. He who doesn't have this key doesn't even have to knock. He cannot open. This is the key. And when our brother, I hope he forgives me now, but he told me today of a shocking experience about a man of high esteem in the message. He made the statement, we are having the message, the revealed word, the Bible, we don't need anymore. And he really has thrown down the Bible. He chucked it down. Yes. And these then are people who speak about the prophet and are in reality deceivers, being deceived themselves and deceiving others. We have the grace from God to respect this word forever. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but God's word remains forever. And we can say together with Peter, and this is the word which we declared unto you. We're just glad that the Lord has a church on earth which respects his word. Because only then God can really speak to us, if we respect his word. If not, why should he then even speak to us? Give heed to the word, so that you understand the revelation rightly. May this have been written into our hearts. Then we remember the word in Amos chapter 3 verse 7 in connection with Genesis 18 verse 17. How can I hide from Abraham what I am about to do? And then, surely God does nothing unless he reveals his counsel, his secrets unto his servants, the prophets. But the counsel of God was already written down in this word. And Paul expresses it in Ephesians chapter 3. He expresses it with the words, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 4, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. And then follows the details which he then sets forth to the people of God based upon the divine plan of salvation. Brothers and sisters, I time and again must do the same. And I will not apologize for it. But I'm always straight in the sermon. And the many greetings, I mostly forget them. And if I would forget today the greetings to our brothers and sisters in Chile, then they are cross with me when I will see them in a couple of days. So, we are greeting especially our brothers and sisters in Chile, And of course, on the whole South American continent. From now on, we will include Brazil and all the other countries, be it Portuguese speaking, be it Spanish speaking. We are just so glad when I read Acts chapter 2, among the 17 nations which were gathered on the day of Pentecost, the Arabs are listed as last. And this makes me so glad that on the day of Pentecost also Arabs were present. So, when God said to Abraham, "In thee shall all nations be blessed," then this is of course true. And when we love Israel in a special way, then it is also all right. But for this reason, we don't have to hate any Muslim or any Arab. All of mankind was deceived. They can nothing for it, and only with love we can meet them, preaching the word of truth. You can take all the 12 main religions, which are divided again into 6 special religions. One can take them worldwide. All were born into the error. And when we then, just to come back to last night, when we then think on Israel, then this hurts in a special way. God had said, after he had spoken, he said, "Do not add anything to my words." Just like in Revelation 22. And what did they do? They added to the written traditions the verbal traditions. They have written their Mishnah, they're writing their Babylonian Talmud, writing their Jerusalem Talmud, and now they are arguing which one of them is the best. Both are no good. Both of them you can forget. Only the Torah, only the Tanakh, only the Word of God, as it came from the mouth of the Almighty. That's how it is right. Everything else people can keep for themselves. And if we at this place despise what church fathers have said, then this is also all right like that. Church fathers did not speak to me, did not speak to us. No Augustinus, no Tertullian, no Hieronymus, no Chrysostomus. All of them were Jew haters from the first to the last. And he who reads it up, what they said about the Jews in the second and the third century, and fueling the hatred of Jews, planting the seed of hatred until the Inquisitions came, and until the Crusades came, and until the blood was running down on the street of Jerusalem. The seed was sown by church fathers, an evil seed, and it came up. And therefore we can forget everything what is written in any catechism. To me God does not speak through this or that catechism, but through that what is written in this word. Yesterday we were briefly referring to the two great events The one in remembrance of the liberation of the most terrible concentration and extermination camp, Auschwitz. And please, just imagine this now. The atheist, Stalinist, godless, red army was throwing out the Christian murderers and were liberating the remaining Jews who could hardly stand or walk. Just think of this contrast. Here, the Christian military priests who were always present and murdered and murdered and murdered. And there, atheists, Stalinists, Red Army are coming and are liberating the Jews from Auschwitz. It just doesn't fit together. But as we looked at it last night, the blood of all those who were slain on the earth was found in the great city which rules over the kings of the earth. We cannot change it as it is. For you, especially for the younger generation, this might be a thing just like all the other things. But for us, who we personally experienced a part of it, it looks, of course, totally different. We have here some brethren who were also soldiers wearing the uniform and have seen and witnessed a number of things. For us, it really looks totally different. I will forever remember when I saw how the Jews, the remaining Jews, were driven in direction Bergen-Belsen, and the military, one here and the other one was there, was keeping watch over them. How the blood was running down the feet in winter, in January 1945, totally exhausted. And I saw how one Jew collapsed, and the soldier took his rifle, turned it around, and gave him a knock with the butt of his rifle, and this man died before my eyes. I've seen it. Brothers and sisters, I just mentioned this, that we, because we really witnessed the most terrible part of the history of mankind since the 6,000 years from Adam. I don't want to go into politics here. This I should have done earlier. Now it's too late. But one question must all answer who were fighting in the Second World War. Why were not all the railways bombed, which were leading to all the death camps like Auschwitz and Treblinka? It would have been easy to drop the bombs on them. We have seen the planes, not 10 or 20, 200 or 300 planes in the sky. And then the sky was red. And the railways were not bombed. All knew it. All knew it. And all were just watching. He who knows history, he knows how all were part of it, so that it could happen what happened. Let's leave this point now. God knows all things. Then, we have spoken about the 26th December 2004, also a day which will not be forgotten as long as we will be on earth. On that day we were in Zurich in the service, and as we were gathered, just like you here were gathered on that Sunday, the sea quake had such an impact, and this surely was never here before, that the waves reached a speed of 800 kilometers per hour. This one has to imagine. And then I think about what Brother Branham said about Los Angeles, about the west coast of the USA, that the whole piece, starting from the San Andreas Fault, it will give way, and when the tremendous earthquake strikes, it will break off, and then it will fall into the ocean. Huh. What will then be? Which country will then be spared? Now, it were 12 countries which were affected. And the Holy Scripture tells us in Luke 21, verse 25b, about the sea and the waves roaring. Then we have heard the news that all the animals were running away before the flood came. Not one monkey, not one giraffe, nothing perished, only the people. God gave the animals the instinct to run away before the danger comes. You all heard about it, you all read about it. Yes, and the people, that's how it was in the days of Noah. The people were going around and were mocking and scoffing, and the animals went into the ark by pairs, as it was in the days of Noah, says our Lord. People don't let themselves be chastised anymore by the Spirit of God. And we have to give the warning and just to say, we are not only living in the end time, we are living at the end of the end time. And as we have sung, Thou art worthy, Thou art worthy, if we believe that God in our time has graciously visited His people, coming down in the pillar of fire and in the cloud, giving instructions, having confirmed His word in an unusual way, as probably never before. And as then Brother Branham was told, return to Jeffersonville, for the time to open the seven seals has come. And this happened then in March 63. We are just grateful for it, that we have heard of these things, that we have heard of what God is doing according to His word. In the prophet Daniel is written, chapter 12, verse 4, shut up the words and seal the book until the end time. So, not forever, but until the end time. And if this is the end time, and it is, then God had to stand to His word, opening the book, revealing the secrets. Connected with it is also the restoration of all the things belonging to the church. And just to underline this here, and I wished it could be said here to all the brethren who refer to Brother Branham, that they must respect all of the Word. Also the Word from Ephesians chapter 4 from verse 5. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all. And one can read on. The main point of which it is about today is in verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. If we believe that God brings everything back into its original condition, as he promised, then the ministries and the gifts must come back into the church. Then the Spirit of God must work anew in those who believe the Word. And God, who set in the beginning the various ministries, he will at the end set the ministries. And therefore, we are not only having the prophetic ministry, but also the teaching ministry, to put everything in its right place where it belongs, according to the great plan of salvation of our God. And there's really the need of a divine commission to get the access, because no man has it by himself. I can just forget about it, because otherwise a man would get proud. But we brought nothing with us. Everything we received from the Lord. The ministries are not here that men are celebrating themselves. Verse 12, Ephesians 4. But for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. I'm thankful to God that I'm not responsible for one single split in a church all over the world. I've preached the Word of God, and he wanted to believe it, believed it. He who didn't want to believe, didn't believe. I just preached the Word. In no place, nowhere I was misusing the pulpit to bring myself in, and then to establish my own church. Not a single time. I always respected the pulpit of the brethren. I was preaching the Word. And I never draw disciples after myself, saying, now we establish again a church. No. He who is set by God into the church, he never goes somewhere with a thought in his mind, all right, when the people receive me, then I will put my foot into the door and doing my own thing afterwards. No, men of God are appointed to edify the whole church until we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. That's how it is written here. And that's how we believe it. And that's how it is. That's how it has become true in every ministry which the Lord has given by his grace. Let us go to Hebrews chapter 12. We remember a number of lessons from last night, that faith is connected to revelation, connected to obedience, connected to the deed, that faith alone cannot exist by itself, except it has life in itself. And the life is in the Word, and the promises are in the Word. And here, in Hebrews chapter 12, we have the command from verse 12, "Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed." Brothers and sisters, God, at the first coming of Christ, He had a preparer of the way. He sent Him. The high should be made low, and the low made high, and the crooked things made straight. A correction should take place, a way to walk on, so that bride and bridegroom can come together on the way prepared by God. The same way it is now. The way is prepared, and everything is restored, what was lost to the church. That's how it was promised to us by God through the prophet Joel. "I will restore unto you the days," everything what was eaten away of this tree, this God wanted to restore. And we can say, He is mightily busy to bring about this restoration in reality. Because believe me, God is always connected to reality. What He says, He keeps forever. Then we have, in verse 14, the admonition: "Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord." And in connection with this, the admonition in verse 15: "Looking diligently, lest any man fall short of the grace of God." And this is not enough. "Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled." Brothers and sisters, the return of the Lord is really so near that we cannot afford any longer to ignore the admonitions of the Scripture. But rather, when we hear such words, we should express our heart's desire: "O God, help me, help me, that it might not happen with me. Help me and be merciful to me." Because we all wish to be part when the Lord returns. And if we then read in Ephesians chapter 5 how the Apostle Paul was worried about the church, his whole ministry, his whole life had only one single purpose, just one purpose: to serve the Lord God, to serve the church. And at the end, a church should come forth as a bride without spot and without wrinkle. This man sacrificed everything in life. Sacrificed his job. He had no family. He sacrificed everything. Just one purpose he lived for. Namely, to serve the Lord. Because of the divine commission which he received to preach the word and to teach it. And that what he received from the Lord to pass it on. How is it today? What are we living for today? What is the purpose? Everything else is framework which we almost could do without. It is mainly about, really about, that God comes to his right with us. And that really, as a result of the true proclamation, comes forth a true bright church, which is worthy to escape all things and to stand before the Son of Man when the trumpet of God sounds. Here, in Ephesians chapter 5, first, it looks like as if Paul wanted to teach husband and wife how they should behave toward each other. And behold, he comes to the main subject, namely at the church. That was the main point. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 24. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in every way. Who would read such a word today? You heard all about it. Now a new Bible shall be published, namely a women-friendly Bible. It shall be published now. We know the Spirit of this time cannot submit to the Holy Spirit. It contradicts, it rebels. And he who witnessed a funeral, like someone here did, he can hear the words, Heavenly Father, Heavenly Mother, we thank thee with all our hearts. Yes, just recently such a funeral took place, and these words were said. Heavenly Father, Heavenly Mother, we thank thee. Yes. We just arrived in a time where the reverence, the respect is no more here. Is no more here before God. Let us come to the further text here in Ephesians chapter 5. From verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. And now it comes, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. The blood was shed for the forgiveness and for the reconciliation. But then comes the second step of the reconciled ones, of the ones connected to God, namely that they take a bath in the word of truth, being cleansed thereby. This is just as important and belongs to it. Because let us be honest, we are all coming from various denominations, and we must take a bath in the Word of God. We must be immersed, we must be dipped under and baptized into the Word, to take a bath, not just a shower, but to take a bath we must take in the Word of God, so that all are cleansed from everything, taking nothing over, but that the redeemed are washed in the Word, not only the blood of the Lamb, but taking a bath in the Word. The blood of the Lamb purifies us from all guilt, from all sins. But when we hear the Word, and when we take a bath in it, saying, Lord, take everything away, wash everything off, what is not in line with your Word. These are the times of corrections, of orientation, of teaching, which God gives us by and through His Word. And in verse 27, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. What do you think now? What is in your heart? What is going on in it? Do you have the cry to the Lord? O God, let me be part of them. Let me be part of the overcomers in which these words become true. I say it once again, we must go along with the preaching on our inside. And remember, if we open up 1 John, there we have the word message a couple of times. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you. Brothers and sisters, it must be the original message which we heard from his mouth and which is written as a document in the Holy Scripture, the original divine message. Not the interpretations. If we look into the church world, of course, nothing was left of the original word. This we don't say because of criticism. This we say with a grieved heart. Every word was misinterpreted. Not a single word of the scripture was left as it was. Nothing but interpretations are left, but at the end of days, it pleased God to take us out from all interpretations, bringing us back to the original word. And as we have heard it from the prophet Daniel, we must give heed to the word, on every word as it is written. When it says, Son of Man, please leave it, Son of Man. If it says, Son of God, leave it, Son of God. Leave every word where it is and how it is, because it belongs there. If one takes it from here to there, then one has caused great damage. And when I now think about how brethren are taking quotes of Brother Branham out of context, making a doctrine out of it, not even thinking to look up what the scripture says about it. This hurts. This hurts. Because before all the others came on the scene, we have already carried the word as the original seed unto the ends of the earth. Who was on the way in the 60s? Who was on the way in the 70s? When the Iron Curtain was still in existence, when the times were totally different, who was at that time with the true message, with the true Word of God on the way? But, as written of our Lord in the parable, in Matthew 13, first, the Lord was sowing the good seed, and when the people slept, the enemy came and sowed his seed onto the same field, and both came up. We abide with the original seed, because it is written, every seed brings forth after its own kind. And when Jesus Christ, our Lord, was the promised seed, even announced via Abraham, because that what happened with Isaac, who carried his own wood on which he was also sacrificed, so also Christ carried his cross onto which he was nailed to. And at that time, the Lord said to Abraham, the Lord will provide a sacrifice for himself. A lamb. When Abraham turned around, a male sheep, a ram, was stuck with his horns in the bushes. But it was that moment when God would show in a symbol, you don't need to sacrifice your son. The true sacrifice is coming. And the true sacrifice came. For us, not a man died, but the Lord himself in the likeness of man. We don't want to go here into details, but for us, all these examples from the Old Testament are a hint to that what happened in the New Testament. Once again, that verse from 1 John, chapter 1, verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. And straight afterward it says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. We may also add here, if we have fellowship with God, then we have fellowship with one another. It is impossible to be reconciled with God and not with one another. It's impossible. If we have true fellowship with God, then we have true fellowship with one another. Philippians chapter 2, from verse 1. And before we read chapter 2 from verse 1, let me emphasize what Paul has said in Philippians 1, verse 1. Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi, and so forth with the bishops. Paul didn't see himself alone as a servant of Jesus Christ. He included Timothy and all the other brothers who had part in the proclamation. He included them as servants of Jesus Christ. This I can also do with all my heart. If there are prophets, then it's usually one. There was one Abraham, one Moses, one Elijah. There were never 400 sent at once from the Lord. One man in the hand of God is enough. But then, that what God revealed through one must be carried on by the others, and it must be told to the people. And just look at our brethren who are preaching the word of the Lord in the various countries, servants of Jesus Christ, with the same commission, with the same sending and the same message. In Philippians chapter 2, from verse 1, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Then he gives the instruction, let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, bringing the word, and this in love, in mercy. And a true servant of God does not come to the front to judge others, but driven by the love of God, just to pass on what we received from the Lord. Brothers and sisters, it must be said here, and I do it with great joy. Let us think back on all the years in which God has blessed us here together. Think of Brother Russ, Brother Schmidt, all the brethren. Together we are serving the Lord, each one with the gift or the ministry which we received. And we must say it here, I could not take the place of other brothers. And other brothers probably cannot take my place. And it's not because we are now greater or smaller. It's because God has set various ministries into the church. Evangelists, prophets, pastors and teachers. The teacher can be here or there, the evangelist also, but the pastor remains at one place because he belongs there, different ministries, but one and the same Spirit who works all in all. We must also come back here to last night with the obedience. We are obligated toward God to walk our way in obedience to the word until the completion. And as we also mentioned, it's no good for anyone to say, it's written, he that believeth and is baptized, and one says, I believe, but baptism I'm not interested in. This doesn't work. This really doesn't work. And maybe, to be fair, one should mention the word from Acts. God overlooked the time of ignorance. That's how it's written in the book of Acts, probably chapter 17. God overlooked the time of ignorance. When there was no revelation, when there was just knowledge, when Reformation was here, but not restoration, when the men did their best and were walking in the light which God had given them. But at in the evening time, before the midnight hour strikes, it should be light, once more light. Before it gets very dark, there should be light once more. We all know the Holy Scripture, and we know how God went on with the New Testament church since the Reformation. He went on step by step. So we cannot make a comparison with the men who lived in the past 500 years. We must make the comparison with our brethren in the beginning, with the original church. What did she believe? What did she teach? What is the doctrine of the apostles? What is biblical proclamation? What was practiced there in the beginning? How did they baptize? How were the spirit baptisms? How were the healings of the sick? How did it happen at the very beginning? We need this divine orientation to know for what we have to pray for, to know what we have to expect. If our vision is blurred, how can God do then something? Let me, in comparison to this, maybe read you Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. Here it's written, Hebrews 5, verse 12. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again which be the first principles of the oracles of God. Of the oracles of God. You need teaching again from the principles of the oracles of God. Then continues, verse 14, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil.
Zu unterscheiden vermögen. Wir müssen geübte
Sinne. We must have our senses exercised, and the heart must have received the genuine one to differentiate it from the fake. We read in Matthew 24, verse 24, that if it were possible, even the very elect would be deceived. And how many within the message are making the statement, the elect cannot be deceived, and are themselves deceived up to the ears? One can decorate oneself with scriptures, but it is about the inside. Has your and my heart a connection to God? To the divine words of revelation, which we just read? Or are we tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine? In Hebrews chapter 11, we read, I just want to emphasize the main points. Hebrews 11, verse 4, here it says about Abel. Maybe we read the verses. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. Here we see what revelation, what faith is, and how God reacts on faith and revelation. If someone acts in obedience to the revelation, Cain gathered the fruits of the field, and to him was not revealed that the sin happened in flesh and blood. But Abel had the revelation and sacrificed blood, sacrificed a lamb, already in view that the Lamb of God would come to take away the sins of mankind. Here we have revelation together with the deed. He sacrificed. He brought the sacrifice. It was not only revealed to him. He did what was revealed to him. And on it rested the blessing. Let us read verse 5. In Hebrews 11. Here it says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. Faith in the rapture has taken him into the rapture. It merged in it, and he was not found. Brother Branham speaks of the rapturing faith which we must have, and he refers to the revelation which was given to him in connection with the opening of the seven seals, when the seven angels appeared in the supernatural cloud. And he knocks seven times onto the pulpit, and he says, these thunders were so tremendous, and therein is the rapturing faith. And we know what he had in mind, namely the revelation which he then received in the seven seals. The seven thunders just draw the attention to it, that the seven angels appeared in the supernatural cloud. But then it was about the matter itself, namely about the revelation of the seven seals. Why should I speculate about seven thunders? And there are so many people who tell their opinion about it. I will never do it, because I know very well, I know by grace, that the one is the commission and the other one is the carrying out, and both is connected to one another. I neither need to interpret the one nor the other one. I just need the spiritual orientation to see in what kind of way men of God were led from the very beginning. And then we have in the next verse, or verse 7, in Hebrews chapter 11, By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. And after comes the confirmation by the which, by the faith which was connected to the deed. To Noah was said that he should build the ark. The measurements were given him, and he did everything as the Lord God told him. So, not only faith, but faith connected with the deed to put things into practice, because faith without works is dead in itself. That's how it is written in James chapter 2. So, faith connected with the deed. In verse 8, we read, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. In verse 11, through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age. Now it comes. Because she judged him faithful who had promised. It is just wonderful. Actually, the Lord God spoke to Abraham. But Sarah was in the tent and was listening, and she was laughing within herself, and she thought by herself, while she believed, I, old woman, shall become mother again. And then God looks at Abraham and says, should there be anything impossible for God? He who believes, for him all things are possible. Because thus it is written, believe and you will see the glory of God. Then we have also verse 17. In Hebrews 11, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. You know the promise. We spoke about it. Outwardly, it looks like as if God would bring to naught what he promised. God does not bring anything to naught. God glorifies himself more and more through that what he can do with those who believe him. Even they do not understand what he says. Even they don't understand what he demands from them. Just when God says it, then he has taken the responsibility for it. And then we know exactly that everything will be well because he is watching over his word to perform it. Then we have in verse 20, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. And then in verse 21, by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. You can read on about the heroes of faith in Hebrews 11. all had a connection to God, received promises, and have seen the promises fulfilled. Women received their dead raised to life again. The violence of fire was quenched. God did great things on those who trusted Him. And now comes the point. And this already in the Old Testament. What shall be in the New Testament? O Church of the Living God, wake up. Let us together wake up. Let us put on the whole armor of God. And let us fight the spiritual battle unto the victory. Because thus it is written, contend for the faith which was once for all delivered unto the saints. If we in these days are the true church of the living God, then God will not fulfill His promises somewhere in the denominations and religions, but in the church which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all things. And this body of the Lord is being joined together and is equipped for the last ministry. And we believe in reality that God is watching over His word. Brothers and sisters, friends, let me say it here once again. We are living in a wonderful period of the history of mankind and also of the history of the plan of salvation. And we said it many times. When Moses prayed to God, his heart's desire was, if I have found grace in thy sight, then show me thy way. We have heard it of Abraham. He was the prophet in that time. And the Lord God said, how can I hide from thee what I'm going to do? And then we have the promise of God that He would send the prophet Elijah to turn the hearts of the children of God back to the faith of the fathers, back to the beginning, to the Word, out from all interpretations. And if we hear this promise confirmed by the lips of our Lord in Matthew 17, verse 11, and Mark 9, verse 12, confirmed by the lips of our Lord, do you then still want to go to some kind of preacher or evangelist or pastor? Do you then want to go to a charismatic person asking him, what do you say about this scripture? God speaks to His people. And if we in these days are His people, then He speaks to us. Today God speaks to us. And I dare to say, if God shall still speak to many, then let them come to hear God's word in the truth. There is really only one true divine message. Everything else are interpretations which are presented to the people, and we remain with the original, namely with the Word of God. So, not conferring anymore with flesh and blood, not asking, what do you say, or what do you say? This is of no interest anymore. When the Lord our God, by the revelation of the Spirit, according to His word, did speak to us, then we have heard His voice. received revelation and can confidently go on our way until we come from believing unto seeing. We are not depending anymore on men and on that what they say about Godhead, about baptism, about Lord's Supper. Not interested at all. Just what does the Holy Scripture say? What does God's Word say? Search in the Scriptures, for you think to have eternal life in it. Brothers and sisters, let us summarize of what it was all about on this weekend. We looked back on that, what happened to the people of Israel. Sad but true, it happened. We have great sorrow about it, but we cannot change it. We are praying for Israel that now their eyes are opened, that God gives grace, that they recognize the Messiah, and that they recognize that our Lord and Redeemer, that our Christ is their Mashiach, their Messiah. There's only one who was promised, only one who came, and only one who will return as the bridegroom to take the bride home, and only one who will come to sit as the Son of Man on his throne. Matthew 25:31. Only one who will return to step with his feet on Mount of Olives. Always only one who will manifest himself personally at his various comings. In every coming of Jesus Christ, our Lord, is He personally present. Because I've said it to you, the word parousia in the Greek means really personal presence. Personal presence. Not a doctrine, but that what is being expressed in it. And we have it confirmed in the Scripture. The same Lord Jesus who died for us on the cross of Calvary, who was buried, who has overcome hell and Satan, and who rose on the third day, is of course the same who he was before, just in the resurrection body. And he appeared to more than 500 brethren, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. There could be said in the book of Acts, he was 40 days and nights with us. He was speaking with us about the kingdom of God. He was eating with them, drinking with them, and then he led them out to Bethany, and before their eyes he was taken up to heaven. And when they didn't see him anymore, they fell on their faces and worshipped. And that's how it is written in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 11. This same Jesus, who is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. This is the promise, and we believe it. When now somebody says, the Lord has come already, then the Scripture warned us about it. When they shall say, Christ is here, Christ is there, do not believe it. Don't go out to them. If someone says, he's in the desert, don't believe it. I don't know, why should I believe it? Never. When the Lord returns, then we will be changed and will be taken up. And at His return, the dead in Christ will rise first, and we shall be changed, and together we will be taken up. In the English, there is a song, "When Jesus Returns to Earth Again." And this song, sad but true, somehow went into the vocabulary. And sometimes Brother Branham, because of this song, he made sometimes a statement like, "When Jesus will return to earth again." And out of this, they made the doctrine that Jesus, before the rapture, He will come to earth. Just out of a misunderstanding. And I can't stand misunderstandings. I just can't stand it. We must go with everything back to the Word, finding the answer therein, because in the Word is the answer. Just one more quote of Brother Branham, that the bridegroom is now wedding the bride, and that after the rapture, the wedding supper will take place. And out of this they made the doctrine that the bridegroom has come, that he is now here, and that he now weds the bride, and that then, sometime later, the rapture will take place. To the misunderstandings, there is no end to it. One time and again hears of new things which are being spread. And why are they spread? Because the respect for the Word was lost. Because they don't go back to the Word, and instead are jumping from one quote to the other one, having no orientation in the Word of God. Let us hold fast to the Word in every way. And let us be thankful to the Lord that we can become a Word bride by His grace. As the bridegroom was the Word made flesh, so the Word must become flesh in us, must become true in us, must take shape in us. And the preaching must be connected to faith, and faith must be connected with the experience. Brothers and sisters, God has graciously visited us, and I believe that there was something for each and everyone, really, something for each one. And right at the end, just for all who expect healing from the Lord, let just enter one thought into your heart. As true as Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, giving His blood and life for reconciliation and forgiveness, so true He was wounded and smitten in His body. And as true as He was wounded and smitten in His body, so true we were healed of our bodily afflictions. By His stripes you were healed. Let us finally believe, as the Scripture says, to experience what the Scripture says us. And then we will see the glory of God. To Him, the faithful Lord, be the praise and the honor and the adoration now and forever. Amen. Let us stand up and let us thank the Lord. Maybe we sing an international well-known chorus, "Is He Not Wonderful?"
Ist er nicht wunderbar? Ist er nicht wunderbar? Ist er nicht wunderbar? Wunderbar. Er sieht nicht gehört, weit und sein Preis erklärt. Ist er ja, er ist wunderbar, wunderbar. Und er bleibt wunderbar, und er bleibt wunderbar, und er bleibt wunderbar, wunderbar. Denn er ist derer war, derer sein wird immer da. Ja, er bleibt wunderbar, wunderbar.
Hebrews 13, verse 8, John 14, verse 12, and all the other scriptures are strengthening us in the faith and in our trust. And as we read in Hebrews 11, that the faith always led to the deed, to the carrying out, to the obedience, and so getting the confirmation that God could fulfill His word just as He promised to do. Brothers and sisters, doubt yourself, doubt everything what you can see and hear, but believe God. Believe God to see the glory of God. We all can do nothing, just as it was with Abraham and Sarah. Not only Abraham, also she looked on him who gave the promise, and she counted him faithful that he would fulfill the promises. Abraham did the same, and both acted accordingly, and God fulfilled what he promised. Brothers and sisters, we have heard it many times. Through Christ, we are the spirit seed of Abraham. Faith, election, justification, sanctification, everything is included. To whom God is merciful, to him he is merciful. On whom he has compassion, on him he has compassion. And if he has written our names in the Lamb's book of life, then they remain in it. They remain in it. Let us just persevere in the grace, walking forward in obedience, trusting the Lord. He will make it well. He will make it well. He is the author. He is the finisher. And the divine message which we have heard of our Lord, this we carry as we heard it coming from His mouth, without adding anything or without taking anything away. Today we want to thank together our Lord God. Really, thanking Him together, thanking God that He has done it already, so that it can be manifested, that it has happened already. This is Mark chapter 11, verse 22 and 23. To thank Him that He did it already, then it shall be granted unto us. Let us sing Only Believe, and then we pray together. Let us pray and thank. Dear Lord, you ever faithful God, together we are exalting your name and are giving you all the glory, because you were speaking to us. You have sent your word and you hast made us well. Give now faith, living faith, connected with you, connected with the promises, connected with the living word, connected with the deed, connected with obedience. Beloved Lord, have thine own way with your church. We thank you for it. Wash us in Jesus' precious blood. Bathe us in your word by the washing of water by the word. And sanctify us in your truth. Thy word is truth. Dear Lord, together we are glorifying the power of your blood, of your word, and of your spirit. And we thank thee for your presence, for the working of your Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah! 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 Hallelujah!
How many would like to be brought in this prayer before the Lord? Are there still special requests? Doesn't matter what kind of. Just raise your hands. Everywhere the hands are going up. Of course, we are having needs all over, of this or of that kind. But the Lord is here. The Lord is present. And especially concerning salvation, healing and deliverance, Jesus Christ is the same. We are reading in Revelation, he is walking in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. Especially now, in this prophetic age, to speak to us. If he would not be present, he could not even speak to us. But he is present through his Spirit. Everything is transfigured and revealed unto us. No one needs to teach the other one. They shall all be taught by God. This is the unity in the Spirit. The unity in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Washed in the blood of the Lamb. Bathed in the Word of God. Sanctified in the same Word. Everything happens as God promised and as he determined it. Shall we pray once again, bringing all the requests before the Lord? Heavenly Father, once again we come before your throne of grace to thank thee. And we are speaking with you because you did speak to us. Take all troubles, all burdens, all problems, solve everything. O God, glorify thy name, confirm thy word, and bless thy people.
Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Preise den Herrn! Preise den Herrn! Preise den Herrn! Hallelujah! O preis sei Gott! Singen wir, O Hallelujah, es ist vollbracht!
Halleluja, es ist vollbracht, mein Jesus hat mich frei gemacht, und Land und Meer, und Welt und Leid, o Jesus, du bist herrlich frei. O Halleluja,
Amen. Amen. Amen.
You may be seated.